You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. Tony, it's National Dinosaur Day.
I'm Tony Kornheiser. Shout out, Hubie Brown.
You know, as much as Hubie loves you, and he mentions that occasionally, right. he's still a tough guy, okay?
Right.
He may have a few years on you, but you don't want Hubie coming after you, do you?
He
is.
Why do you think I'm going after Hubie? You're the one who, after we do this all the time, says, that's great, let's make fun of Hubie.
Throw me under the bus.
We all love Hubie. We love him.
We do.
Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, the Lakers and Suns are back on the court. Jacob DeGrom's ERA drops again, and the Maple Leafs drop game 7. We begin today with Joel Embiid. The 76ers saw their center go down with a right knee injury in the first quarter in their playoff game against the Wizards last night. The Sixers were ahead by 8 with Embiid, and they lost by 8 without him. Doc Rivers said post-game that Embiid would have an MRI today. Wilbon, your thoughts on the potential impact of Embiid's injury?
Tony, you know, so far injuries are defining the NBA playoffs. And this ought to be, I don't know, a lesson for anybody who's paying attention on both, you know, labor and management sides. The playoffs are being ruined slowly, but perhaps surely. The biggest stars in the game are hurt in the postseason. And so, you know, this is just, I hate seeing this. In Embiid's case with Philadelphia, the Sixers were really starting to play, not well, but great, with Embiid at the center of it. I mean, he was playing as well as Jokic, who we think is going to be the MVP. Embiid is back in that space. But Tony, with him diminished or without him, it's hard for me to see. I'm not going to say impossible. Hard for me to see the 76ers being able to get past the second round. And if you struggle with the Wizards and you go 6 or 7 games in that round, it hurts the team going forward. It's an awful thing. The Sixers are playing so well, but the theme of these playoffs so far have been injuries to stars.
Yeah. Embiid misses a lot of time. He's on the ground a lot. Him and Anthony Davis, they miss a lot of games. Here are the numbers. When Embiid is playing with the Sixers, they're 39-12. That's great. When he's out, they're 10-11. That's not great. That means he's missed 21 of 72 games, and that's a lot. I'm with Danny Green and this particular quote. We're going to need him to be the last team standing. That doesn't mean we can't win the next game without him. And that's totally true. The Wizards aren't going to beat the Sixers 4 in a row if Embiid is on the moon. They're not going to do it. But, as you say, the Bucks or the Nets, the Sixers are not going to beat them if Embiid is on the moon.
That's right.
Not if he's on the moon. No.
No, Tony. And Bertans is out, too, for the Wizards. I mean, the Wizards get a little something going. You know, they played really well last night, even though Russ didn't shoot well. Bill didn't shoot well. Bill was still great in stretches. So is Russ. Just the rebound volume that Russell gets at 6'3" is insane. But they need Bertans. I mean, they do. I mean, he is a primary shooter on that team and floor spacer and knows finally after all these months now how to play off Westbrook. It's just, you know, you look at these games, Tony, is who's going to be standing next? Who's standing in the next game?
Mike.
You know, and so
Mike.
As we move to the, you know, Mike, Jazz
this,
in the West, that was Donovan Mitchell. He wasn't up.
The story isn't the Wizards. The story is the 76ers and
Not
Embiid.
Yet.
And there's another story, too. The other story is Ben Simmons at the line, where he's 5 of 20.
Ooh.
Which stinks. That's not NBA quality on any level. And he's got to get better or he'll never be the player we think he is going to be. And plus,
agreed,
you'll foul him at the end of the game all the time because you can't take him out. He's too valuable.
Yeah.
He's too
this
good,
like
a defender and a setup guy.
Except Shaq could run away from the play late in the game. Ben Simmons ought to have the ball. He can't run away from anything.
That's right.
But he wants to run away from
That's
the
right.
line. He seems allergic to it right now. Over in the West, The Jazz beat the Grizzlies to take a 3-1 series lead. Donovan Mitchell, and he had been hurt for some games, had 30 to lead Utah to the 7-point win. Of course, the Jazz also held a 3-1 series lead over the Nuggets in the first round last season before folding. And after the game, Mitchell said, quote, "We've been here before. It definitely is fuel," close quote. Tony, should the Jazz be haunted by blowing that very same lead last season?
Let me just clarify one thing. Donovan Mitchell didn't miss some games. He missed one game, and he didn't want to miss that game, and nobody understands why he missed that game. Now let me give you the distinction between last year and
this year. Some games at the end of the regular season, like 20 of them. Thanks for playing the game.
No, you're talking about the playoffs. We're just talking about the playoffs now. That's the season no longer matters. This is the season. Last year, Utah was a 6 seed, and they lost to a 3 seed Denver. They were the underdog. They're not even supposed to win that. This year, Utah is a 1 seed. Utah had the best record in all of the NBA. Utah won, I believe, 52 games. Yeah, 52 games. They're playing an 8 seed that had to sneak in as a 9 seed because they had to win 2 play-in games. So that means last year, they wouldn't even be allowed in this. And they won 38 games, Memphis. And I told you before, you can write all the poetry to Ja Morant you want. He's not supposed to win this series. In fact, I think he was 8-for-21 last night. Utah may be in jeopardy down the line, but they're not in jeopardy in this one.
I don't think they are either, Tony. It's funny how you just decide, you know, who you're going to bless, and you think that, oh, maybe I'm going to forget over the years. LeBron James didn't even make the playoffs his first couple of seasons, and you blessed him and said he was Rookie of the Year and MVP and God
he
of all time.
Of
he didn't even get his team to the playoffs. So you just
he should have been Rookie of the Year.
You try to move the goalposts. You can do that on Pablo. You ain't going to do it on me. Now,
okay.
Memphis will be a worthy opponent, but they're not yet. Right now, they're a team in training, they're a team in formation, and Utah, these are close games, though, Tony. These are not double-digit blowouts like you might expect the number one seed to have, which the number one seed usually has, because Memphis is coming. They're not going to get across any finish line right now, Tony. But would it surprise me if Memphis won one more game? Maybe. But Utah shouldn't. This is not last year. Utah looks to be better.
It's fascinating.
Better team.
You tell me I'm moving a goalpost.
Yeah,
All year long, you sat there and you said, when are you going to recognize Utah? When are you going to get off I-95 and give some credit to Utah? Well, I'm doing it here, and you're telling me somehow I've changed the rules, okay? There is no way with where you were on Utah, how much you love them, there's no way you think they're going to lose the series. No way, zero, so we're moving on.
I just said I don't think they're going to win. Try giving Memphis some credit
now. We turn now to hockey. And the Game 7, you told me you would definitely watch last night, Wilmot.
Yes.
Montreal was down 3-1 in this series. They went to Toronto last night. They won Game 7 3-1. This was the first time Toronto and Montreal met in the playoffs in 41 years, which seems incredible as I say it, because they are the two most important franchises in the NHL. Wilmot, are you giving credit to the Canadiens, or are you blaming the Maple Leafs?
Well, Tone, I think anytime you win a game 7, you look at the victor and you say, you know, they won this. They won a pressurized, highly pressurized situation. But, Tony, then post-game, I listened to Barry Melrose, and Barry just crushed Toronto. He said the whole thing was basically an embarrassment from top to bottom, from the executives to the players on the ice, said they weren't tough enough. It was like, whoa, I listened to Melrose. I needed to play it back. He just crushed the Maple Leafs, and I'm likely to listen to Barry Melrose, who has played in these things and coached in them. I'm sure he's coached some Game 7s. I just couldn't believe how much he smashed them, how hard he did. So I'm going to credit Montreal still. It was still a Game 7. They had pressure on them, Tony. You would think that they were a heavy underdog given how far ahead Toronto finished of Montreal in the regular season. There was a soft goal early. And again, according to Barry, Toronto was soft the rest of the game. So I got to at least pop them a little bit, having heard what's his analysis of this.
So I like Barry Melrose. I believe he lives in Glens Falls, where my original college roommate, Dave Carpenter, lives. So I like Barry Melrose. Let me just say this. And I'm going to give you numbers here. Not analytics, just straight numbers. Montreal was the worst team in the playoffs in the entire league. Montreal had 59 points. Toronto had 77. Toronto won that same division. Toronto was said to be a Stanley Cup contender. During the regular season, Mike, Toronto was 7-2-1 against Montreal. If you add the 3-1 at the beginning of the series, they were 10-3-1. Okay, so how did they lose Toronto 3 games in a row? And the answer is, they choked.
Yeah.
It's that simple. Yeah. There's no other explanation. They choked. I mean, forget about the fact they haven't won a cup in 47 years. They're terrible in the playoffs. The last time they won a series, I think, was 2004. I wrote that down. Mike, Toronto has lost 8 straight series clinching games. They've lost 4 straight winner go home games. What else can you say? I'm sure Melrose mentioned this. What can you say?
They're the Cubs. They're the Cubs back in the aughts and the 90s and the 80s. And they were the Red Sox, you know, back in that, speaking of 80s and 86. They're those two franchises. They seem, Tony, paralyzed by these pressurized moments. And by the way, they're not pressurized like the conference championship or the finals. And even in the first round, they can't get out of, which is why they remind me of those two franchises in the NHL.
Mike, they have a lot of money. They spend a lot of money.
They
get nothing for it. In a game 7 at home, they went down 1-0, 2-0, 3-0. Come on. Let's take a break. Coming up, do the Lakers or the Suns have an edge in tonight's Game 5?
And the Rays and the Giants are leading their respective leagues. Who's had the more impressive season so far?
I'm not moving to goalposts. I'm on Utah now. I'm just saying Utah should beat Memphis.
Utah should beat Memphis. We all agree on that. We don't disagree on that. I'm just saying they've got...
Get off I-95. Get off.
Memphis is off I-95, too. They're on I-57, last I checked.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
It's time for toss-up. Two men enter, one man leaves, finishes the show, then starts creating fresh content for his OnlyFans account. What's first?
Toss-up, who do you favor tonight, the Lakers or the Suns?
All right, Wilbon, I never bet against LeBron James, but that doesn't mean I bet on him all the time. Sometimes I avoid the window. This would be a time when I would avoid the window.
This is a push.
Because if Phoenix is ever going to win a game, you know, Anthony Davis may not play. If he plays, may not be 100%. Phoenix, I think this would be the game that they would win. LeBron, when he's out there, that team is plus 37. When he's off, they're minus 33. So what I will say is I have total faith in LeBron, but I don't have faith in the other Lakers. And I'll read this LeBron quote if I can get to it. Quote, "These shoulders were built for a reason. If it takes for me to put some more on top of them, then so be it. Win, lose, or draw, I'm ready for the challenge."
It was a great question. Ramona Shelburne asked LeBron about just, you know, how much he can carry at this stage. You've been out there 100 years, and it was a great answer. You know, and it was LeBron James in Game 5. He's as great as anybody's been in Game 5. I mean, he's right. He was with Kobe and Jordan and Magic and obviously anybody on the Russell Celtics. He's so great in Game 5s. This is Game 5. But, Tony, this is the biggest game here in Phoenix in 11 years. This is the biggest game since, you know, since Steve Nash and Amari Stoudemire and those you know, those Phoenix teams and look like they were finals ready.
Who you got?
I am taking the Phoenix Suns tonight. A lot of pressure on them. I'm taking them tonight, Tony. I know LeBron's great in game five, but I'm expecting Chris Paul, now that he's back to something close, really close to his usual self, to lead Phoenix to game five win.
Next.
Toss up, more impressive season so far, the Rays or the Giants?
Giants are tremendously impressive. They haven't been over 500 since 2016. Nobody expected them to be this good in a division with the Dodgers and the Padres. They just beat the Dodgers three in a row. Apparently, Gabe Kapler can manage, and people in Philadelphia didn't wait around long enough to show him. But if you go back to last year, the only thing anybody remembers about the Rays in the World Series is Kevin Cash taking Blake Snell out. You, Michael Wilbon, you killed him. You brought down the wrath of God on Kevin Cash. Snell is gone. Charlie Morton is gone. You can't name anybody in that team, and they have no payroll.
No.
But they've won 16 of their last 17, and they are 35-20. That's the best record in baseball, and for that reason, right now, Tampa's more impressive.
Yeah, I think the 16-17 sways me, Tony. And we're going to keep talking about this probably, because if one of them drops off, we'll say, okay, it was a mirage. And if the other one of them or both of them keep going, then that's going to be pretty impressive too. In that division with the Dodgers and the Padres, I mean, they brought the early smoke. And the Giants, it was like, what are we talking about the Giants for?
Right.
Tony, I'm going to say 16-17 trumps everything right now. And I can bring the wrath of God on anybody later if any franchise's manager, you know, general manager wants to overrule the manager, as often happens in baseball so much, and people make crazy, stupid decisions. But right now, doesn't matter what they did or didn't do last year, it's Tampa in the moment.
You killed Kevin Cash, and I would point out the AL East is actually deeper than the NL West. They got four teams over 500. That's it. Let's take one last break. Still to come, Jacob DeGrom lowers his league-leading ERA. Lowers it.
They also got the Orioles, who everybody can beat the hell out of. And, oh, wait, they're 30 miles from your house on I-95.
No, that's right, but you got Arizona and Colorado below 500.
Against the Nuggets is the game. What should we expect? And I'm trying to win a lot of it now.
Because it's on.
They got Baltimore. They got Baltimore. They stink.
I know they stink.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Happy time, people. Happy 51st birthday, Alexi Lalas. Lalas and Landon Donovan may be the most familiar names in U.S. men's soccer history. Lalas was a defender and was immediately recognizable by his great thatch of red hair. He was on two U.S. World Cup teams, 1994 and 1998, and was that rare American in the 90s good enough to play in Europe. He played for Padova in Serie A in Italy. Like that pronunciation, Wilbon? Lalas played for four different MLS teams, the last of which was the LA Galaxy. And he later ran that team and was instrumental in signing David Beckham. Lalas has been a soccer broadcaster and has been critical. In that sense, he's like Brandel Chambly of the Golf Channel. A year or so ago, Lalas derisively referred to Christian Pulisic as Wonder Boy. Well, Wonder Boy just became the first American to win a Champions League trophy, as Chelsea won that title on Saturday. So Lalas has to eat that.
Is there a need to take a shot at Pulisic? By the way, Pulisic had a chance, a really good chance to score a goal in that game, and I wish he had. And he could have turned to the camera and, you know, said, Alexi Lalas, you know what to do.
Happy anniversary, Derek Jeter. On this day 29 years ago, Jeter was selected with the 6th overall pick in the baseball draft by the New York Yankees. At Kalamazoo Central High School, Jeter batted over 500 three straight years. As a senior, he was named USA Today's High School Player of the Year. Houston had the first overall pick and drafted Phil Nevin, fearing that Jeter would insist on a bonus of at least $1 million to forego playing baseball for the University of Michigan, where he had a scholarship offer. Hall of Fame pitcher Hal Newhouser, who had scouted Jeter for the Astros, was so incensed that the Astros didn't pick Jeter that he quit his job in protest.
That's great.
Dick Groesch was the Yankees guy who scouted Jeter. He told the Yankees, "Don't worry that Jeter would attend Michigan." Groesch said, quote, "The only place Derek Jeter is going is to Cooperstown."
And he got that right, Tony. Seems like the scouts were in agreement on Jeter and how great he would be, and the Astros went cheap. I guess $1 million bonus was a lot of money back then in the early 1990s, but still, the scouts had it right on Derek F. Jeter.
Absolutely. Happy trails to another slice of Jacob DeGrom's ERA. The best pitcher in baseball threw 6 scoreless innings last night, struck out 8 Diamondbacks, lowering his ERA to 0.71, the lowest for a qualified starter through the end of May since Chris Short had 0.64 for the Phillies 57 years ago. DeGrom has allowed just 4 earned runs in 51 innings while fanning 82. That's 14.5 strikeouts per 9 innings, the most in baseball. DeGrom threw 70 pitches last night. The first 10 were all at least 100 miles an hour. He didn't allow a hit until the 5th. DeGrom went 1-for-3 at the plate. He's batting .450 this season. His opponents are batting .129. Not to put too fine a point on it, but DeGrom has scored 4 runs as a batter and, again, given up only 4 runs as a pitcher.
I'm going to go old man question on you. Does this remind you in any way, because you were there for some of this stuff, of Steve Carlton that year when he was on that great run and he was unhittable? Do you make any comparison there?
Yeah. Carlton, Koufax, Gibson, but DeGrom is utterly sensational at the moment. One update. Joel Embiid is reportedly doubtful for Game 5. He will be evaluated further tomorrow, and let's go to the big finish if we could.
Let's do it.
Damian Lillard said of tonight's Game 5 against the Nuggets, quote, "This is the game right here." Your thoughts?
Tony, the Game 5s are often the telltale of a series, and Dame did not have a great game at all in Game 4. I think he's poised to have one tonight. The Orioles have lost 14 in a row along I-95. Why don't you explain that?
Yeah, well, I just want to say to the Orioles that Michael Wilbon hates you and would have you relegated if he could. Put you
would,
on I-57 somewhat near Memphis. Cardinals ace Jack Flaherty left last night's start with side tightness. Is that a big deal?
Struck out 9 Dodgers through 5, yet he wanted to have it checked out. We don't know if it's a big deal yet. The Blue Jays officially open in Buffalo today. Less than 100 miles from home. You excited?
Yeah, it's so much closer than Florida where they were. That's a good move. Last one, will the Nets eliminate the Celtics tonight in Brooklyn?
Kyrie's going to have 40. I mean, he just is. I mean, and they're going to help him get 40 and eliminate the Celtics. Yes.
We're out of time. We'll try and do better the next time. And I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, knuckleheads. You can get the PTI podcast on the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts. Shout out to Ty Lue, who never gets enough credit. And now, here's SportsCenter.
Team Coco's second net yesterday. Shop credit.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. 2 things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number 1, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number 2, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.